thank you everyone for coming. I admit I have a funny accent, but I think you will understand me. All right? Today, as you know, we're starting a new series, and it's called Saturday Night Slam. And so I believe it's going to be the best series. Next week, though, we have a professional fighters boxing. You know, myself, I went, as I was a teenager, I went to Sioux Empire Boxing. So boxing is kind of close to the heart to me, although you guys were amazing. But as you start using the legs, I begin to be scared. But anyway, I believe that these series are going to help you in some way. So I appreciate for if you just give me about 10, 15 minutes. People have been asking us, why are you doing this? Some have been saying, are you guys just promoting fighting? What? Are you promoting fighting? And in church, especially? And my answer is, yes and no. No, we're not going to teach you how to beat up your husband or your wife or your girlfriend. No. Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood. But that means there is a battle. All right? There is a battle. Apostle Paul writes in the Bible and he says, fight the good fight of faith. He writes it to Timothy and he says, fight the good fight of faith. That means you can fight or you might not be fighting. Okay? And it's very important because there is an invisible enemy out there that we all face each and every day of our life. So Apostle Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. So why are we doing this? Because we're promoting that there is an invisible force. It's trying to make your life miserable. And you need to learn how to fight. Now these guys are fighters. I'm sure they train every week. I'm sure they're very disciplined. They do something about it. How many of you ever heard about UFC? Anybody? UFC? Ultimate Fighting Championship. You know that it's the fastest growing sport in America right now. Only 8 years ago, it has been outlawed in 37 states. And today, it's just exploding. Last year, it grew 106%. Where NFL only grew about 35%. And the prediction is that in the next few years, it's going to be the second most watched sport in America after NFL. My message is today, I want you to know that every time you see a fight on TV, it's an opportunity to transpose it into a different key, into a spiritual fighting, into God and eternity. When Apostle Paul wrote to Corinthians, he assumed that all of them knew about the games. Olympic games in that time, about 2,000 years ago, took place in Greece every 4 years. Do you know that Apostle Paul was present in those games? So he's not condemning these games, but he's saying transpose it into a different key as well. Transpose it into the key of your own battle. Now we know that our battle is not, you know, to beat up somebody. Our battle is different today. So he says, transpose it into a different key. All those people who lived in Corinth knew about the games. Because Corinth was about 50 miles from the place where the Olympics took place. Everyone in that period knew, and everybody is watching fights today. And so what he's saying is, transpose it. Transpose it into a different key. It's not the matter if you will face an enemy. It's what you're going to do when that time comes. Look at your life today. There's probably an enemy that you're fighting. You've been fighting something this week. There's some people here who are fighting emotional battles. Maybe you got anger issues. And you're fighting that and it's destroying your relationships and you don't know what to do. Maybe you're fighting bitterness, or maybe you're fighting depression, or thoughts of suicide, hatred, anxiety, whatever it is you're fighting, but there's an enemy out there fighting. There's some people might be here who are fighting, you know, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, bad habits. Maybe you're fighting porn. Maybe you're a compulsive gambler, And that's a fight. That's an enemy. It's coming to your life to destroy you. It's a battle. Maybe you're fighting gluttony or anorexia. Maybe you're fighting that. Maybe you are fighting even something as little as laziness. You just can't get anything done in life because you just can't get anything done. Maybe you have family problems. Maybe there's such tension in your family that you're on the brink of divorce. And you're fighting to stay together, and there's a force out there that's trying to pull you apart. Just because we live in a time when we don't carry a sword or a spear doesn't mean there's not a real battle out there. David was not the only one who fought a Goliath. Each and every day, you guys have to battle a Goliath as well. The point is, what are you going to do with it? You can't ignore your enemy, because your enemy is surely not going to ignore you. Do you know that Jesus was a fighter? Jesus had a huge following of men. It's the church that actually feminized them a little bit. Have you ever seen a portrait of Jesus? Nice perm, pedicure, manicure, beard perfectly trimmed. Have you ever seen that Jesus? Have you ever seen him riding a donkey with two of his legs on one side? That's what church did to Jesus. But actually, Jesus was a total dude guy. I mean, he was the son of carpenter. He was rough. You know that his disciples was intimidated by him. They were. They were afraid to ask him questions. So Jesus was a man. Sometimes if you look at a portrait, you see animals following him, you know, sheep, like he's a Dr. Doolittle or something. But Jesus was a man. One time, he got upset that people were selling stuff in a temple, in a church. They were selling goats and sheep and doves. And he got in there and he asked them nicely, but they wouldn't leave. So he took a whip, one man, went inside the temple and started just getting everybody. Said, get the hell out of here. He started overturning the cages. He started opening them up, and goats and sheep started running, and doves started flying, pooping on everybody. And that's what Jesus was like. Fighters are known for their ability to tolerate pain, as you can tell. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in these guys' place. But Jesus is the ultimate dude who tolerated pain. You know, he didn't have to. He could have tapped out. He could have tapped out. He didn't have to go on a cross. He actually was thinking about it. He knew how beat up he was going to get. He knew how painful it's going to be. I mean, you didn't see those guys piercing themselves, right? I mean, they were just wrestling. But Jesus was pierced. And he could have tapped out any time, any moment. But he knew what he was doing. Let me ask you a question. If your family member was about to die, would you take a beating with one of those guys? For them? But what if you had to go against a huge, big person who's going to mess you up? What if it was a brawl of about 10 people coming against you? Would you still do it? Knowing that you're going to get beat up, knowing that you might have your teeth knocked out, and even knowing that you might get killed, would you still do it? Would you give up your life? Huh. See? So you see, Jesus knew how much it's going to hurt, how he's going to get pierced. He knew how they're going to tear him up pretty much. And he still did it. So he was able to tolerate pain. And then there's another scripture in the Bible I want to read to you before I'm going to finish. It says this. Now I saw an open heaven, and behold, a white horse. This is out of Revelation, so I hope it's not too radical for you, okay? And I saw the one who sit on it was faithful in truth. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and his name was written, and no one knew it. He was clothed with robes dripped in blood. So when Jesus was riding on this horse, when this guy John saw this revelation of Jesus riding a horse, I mean, he was bloodied up. So don't tell me that Jesus is a feminine guy, you know, where if you removed his beard, he would look like a chick. No. Jesus was a man, because guys don't want to follow Jesus today, and they're filling up arenas for UFC. Because church made him feminine, and nothing against women in this place, but Jesus was a man. He was a real fighter. So how do you fight? And I just want to give you a few keys. How do you fight to win? I want you to remember, every time you see a game or a fight, principle number one, every time you see a game or a fight on TV, transpose it into a key, a different key. Every time you see a football game, transpose it into a different key. Every time you see a fight and somebody's really getting beat up, bloodied up, think about it. Am I winning in my life or am I losing? Transpose it into a different key. If you don't get anything else from this message, I want you to get one thing. I want you to change the way you see sports. I want you to see it differently from now on. You know, Bible doesn't tell us to stop watching, you know, fights and boxing and ultimate fighting. It doesn't say that. Paul was actually the one watching it. How else did he wrote it? He saw it. But he says, every time you see a fight, transpose it. Apply it in your life. See what enemy you are facing. Principle number two. Identify who's your enemy. If your enemy is anger, identify it. You know, immature people always look for somebody else to blame. They're looking, who else can I blame for my problems? But if you're a mature person, you know that the biggest enemy that we have is self, right? Principle number three, fight in such a way that you would win. Fight in such a way that you would win. Don't ever get in a ring with your enemy just kind of hoping it's going to be okay. You know, I think most of us, we play with our enemy. If it's depression, we just play with it. We're just like, oh, well. If it's anger, we just kind of like, well, you know, I'm human. We don't really focus on to defeat it. We just kind of play with it. And so Paul is writing to Corinthians. He said, fight in such a way that you may win. Say win. Win. All right. Thank you. If you had a rattlesnake in your house, would you just kind of go, shh, shh? See, that's what we do. That's what a lot of us do. We don't really want to defeat the enemy that we're facing. We're just kind of just under the carpet or under the bed. Listen, I don't want a rattlesnake anywhere near my place. I'm going to cut his head off the first time I see it. And a lot of us, when we face whatever we face, emotional, drug addiction, alcoholism, whatever we face, we're just kind of like, well, it's going to be okay, you know? Instead of going for it, instead of fighting in such a way that we would win, you know, we would face less problems if we would fight in such a way that we would win. You know that victory in your life will determine your joy in your life? If you're depressed a lot in your life, look inside. Look and see if you're winning. No, seriously. Have you ever had a project on hold for so long that you felt depressed every time you thought about it? Anybody? Yeah, procrastination. It made you feel bad. But every time you achieve that thing, every time you conquer that thing and check it off your list, guess what? You feel good about it. It's like you have new energy on the inside of you. Anybody hearing me? Whatever is making your life, whatever is destroying your family, and a lot of you are not married yet, but you will be. And if porn is your problem, you know what? Sorry to be real. Is that okay? A lot of guys are impotent, cannot, you know, be with their wife because they got a porn addiction. And that becomes an enemy. Anybody hearing me? Principle number four. Professional athletes exercise discipline and self-control. We must do it as well. Some of us come to God like this. God, I have a problem over there. Fix it. It's like going in a ring and saying, God, this is my enemy. Could you fight? Can you fight him for me? I don't want to fight him. Have you ever seen God come and fight your enemy? Guys? No. God is not going to fight. Instead of praying, God, give me the strength. Give me the power to defeat my enemy. A lot of us are praying, well, I tried God. Well, you tried him wrong. Say, God, give me the power to defeat my enemy. Don't ever pray, God, defeat my enemy for me. Because God will not give you a bigger enemy than you can handle. You know, in fighting, they have weight matches, right? They don't give you a way bigger enemy. If you're fighting a 30 pounds more guy, what would that be? That would be uneven weight, right? And the bigger guy could easily, just by weight itself, right? Am I right here? I mean, I don't know too much, but a little bit. So God will never give you a bigger enemy that you can't handle. So whatever problem you face, it's just like an illusion that your enemy trying to give you. So pray, God, give me the energy, give me the strength. Anybody here ever tried losing weight? How many of you made that your New Year's resolution? How come we have good intentions, but we can't do good? How come we have, I know we mean well. I do it myself all the time. I mean well. I'm going to be nice to that person. But when it comes to that person, I'm just... because I have no power. And that's why we need God in our life. You see? That's why we need to say, God, I need you in my life. And so, if you're going to fight your enemy, you must be disciplined in prayer. You must be disciplined in reading the Bible. It's going to help you fight your spiritual enemy. Otherwise, have you ever seen a fight that a person got bloodied up? That's how what happens to us. And we just lose our focus and we just start being all miserable. Oh, I don't have any friends. I'm so lonely. I'm losing. I'm depressed. I need Prozac. No, you need to kick the butt of your enemy. Get real with your enemy. Whatever it is, beat the hell out of it. This is a trick of Satan. He'll bring an enemy towards you and he'll make him look big. But just always know this, God will never allow... you hear me? God is a righteous judge. God will never allow somebody not to be in your weight. You know, there's middleweight, there's lightweight, there's heavyweight. So if you're a heavyweight, you'll get a heavyweight opponent. If you're just a lightweight person, you'll get a lightweight opponent. One thing, plus the power of God. You plus the power of God, you can defeat any enemy. Really, the Bible says that your enemy has been defeated. So all you have to do is just focus on him a little bit and say, I want you out of my life. So whatever your enemy is, you got to speak to it. Because you know its name already. And principle number 5, and I'm done. Paul says, don't shadow box only, but box in such a way that you may hit a bullseye. A lot of people, we just go boxing like this. Oh, get out of my face, Satan. You know? You know that when you swing and you miss, you lose your balance. Help me out here. You lose your balance. So if you don't have a balance in your life, then that means you're hitting your enemy, but you're missing. Paul is saying, fight that you would hit a bullseye. Fight in such a way that you would win. It takes so much energy to throw a punch. You're just wasting energy. And that's why you feel so low. And you don't have any joy in your life. Fight in such a way that you would win. If you're not serious about your enemy in your life, you're just wasting precious energy. Am I making myself clear? I mean, is this clear for everybody? But we can't do it on our own. We need a higher power. We need God in our life. You can't fight the battle on your own. You know that fighting started way before human beings were ever born? Did you know that? In heaven, Satan fought with Michael the archangel and his angels. Can you believe Satan storming the gates of heaven? It's in the Bible. The battle took way before you and I were ever born. But the battle has been won already. And if you have God on your side, there's no battle in your life that you can't defeat. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be beat up from day to day. You can walk in true joy. You can truly be happy if you have God on your side.